Portions of the show may be previously recorded. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a lovely couple here with us today out of San Antonio, Texas. Both entrepreneurs in their own right. They had their own businesses, and they worked their way from having their own businesses into owning real estate for those businesses. And then eventually realized that they were real estate rich and personal home residence poor. In other words, mama wanted a bigger nest and all of the businesses got in the way. So it's an interesting story we want to get out today. So welcome today, Lori and Michael Bass out of San Antonio, Texas. Welcome, folks.
Howdy, Del. How
are
you doing?
Hey, Del. Thank you so much. We're happy to be here.
Want to hear your story, guys. It's going to be interesting. Of course, Michael, you know that you interrupted the nesting process, which is something's going to get one in trouble just about every time they do it. But, Lori, you came back and worked through it.
I didn't fly the coop.
All right, so let's start this story out, guys. How'd you guys meet? You're both entrepreneurial. You both had jobs, self-employed jobs. Tell us how you guys met and how did you work yourself into this situation where you were real estate rich and nest poor?
Well, we met because we both, I bought a townhouse a year before my lovely wife ended up buying the one across the street. So
we were neighbors. And the irony of it is Mike has always been an entrepreneur and I was basically corporate America before he turned me into an entrepreneur, but go ahead.
Yeah, so it's just that she would always see me, you know, coming back and forth from work, and, you know, she thought, hey, this guy looks pretty hot. So,
I think
a little self-promotion there. A little self-promotion there, Lori.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around, but anyway, out to the real estate, but.
But, yeah. For me, I grew up, you know, family of entrepreneurs. My grandfather started a stucco business. My parents took it over. I was going to take over the stucco business in the late 80s. And as you remember, during that time, the price of oil dropped to $10 a barrel and the economy went in the toilet. So I was getting ready to take over a family business at the worst possible time ever, going from late 80s into the early 90s. So I had to kind of pivot to what I was doing, and I ended up starting my own company just in a small little shed, and it kind of grew to where I ended up buying a warehouse in 2002. And for me, I was always the Dave Ramsey mindset of that, you know, pay off the building, you know, put all your money in there. That way you're protected and that, you know, paid off as quick as possible. Where any excess cash we had went to the building. And the issue with our lifestyle with, you know, kids growing up and, you know, raising a young family at the time, it's like, where's the money? Why can't we do this? And I'm like, because we got to pay down the building, got to pay it off.
Well, you know, the irony of it is, I'll never forget, we went to a parade of homes. You know how they have them every year, and we were about in the 10th year of our note, and we paid off the first warehouse, and we bought a lot, and we were, like, going to build on, you know, it was, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to finally do it, and it wasn't, what, 6 months after that, the next warehouse that we were leasing was when the person that owned it came to Mike and gave him a deal he just couldn't refuse. And yeah, that was about the time I thought I was going to have a heart attack, because I mean, all that excess cash flow was going straight into another warehouse.
Into warehouse number two.
We sold that lot and that was it, which was the best thing in hindsight we ever could have done. But at the time, it was a little crazy.
Well, Michael, where did you get this mindset? Was this something handed down from your family to be like Dave Ramsey, or did you actually listen to Dave Ramsey and pick up his belief system from there?
First with my parents, because with them owning businesses, you know, you have the good times and the bad times. You got to save your cash up for when the bad times happen. And when I got into the business, I was seeing we're at the bad times and how you ended up putting all your money back into it to stay afloat. And so that was my mindset, is that I wanted to always have the safety of the asset being paid for, so I didn't have to worry in the future if I was going to be able to make the mortgage payment or not on the building. And it took, you know, for me years to kind of get out of the mindset that, you know, there's a different way of, you know, having income and, you know, leveraging the property, that you can still be successful and not worry about everyday cash needs.
Now, your business, you said, is foam and or stucco covering or whatever. When I hear that, I'm thinking about on my home, I have like this foam trim and crown molding and stuff that's then stuccoed over. Is that what you're talking about?
That is exactly what it is. We fabricate styrofoam shapes, crown moldings, props, displays, and then put a cement coating on them, so you would never know that there was foam underneath it.
Gotcha, yeah. Well, that's pretty neat stuff. Okay, so you need a lot of warehouse space to store the materials, or the after the done product, or you actually build the product in the warehouse. What do you need all the warehouse space for?
We make it. We put the cement coating on it, and then we have the other warehouse for selling it, and then we also sell stucco supplies to all our customers and multifamily stucco contractors.
Well, and then meanwhile, Dale, you know, I my background started in corporate America, so I, you know, graduated college, I got the corporate job and went into sales, and worked for about 15 years. Ironically, it was just down the street from where we bought our warehouse. But after about 15 years of watching how corporate America worked, you know, the plant that I worked out of, I used to sell for a manufacturer, and I watched them come in and shut the doors on that plant, and I watched some of the employees who had given 40 years of their life. They were just literally gone, here today, gone tomorrow. They weren't at a point in their life where they were ready to retire. It was the saddest thing for me, and I'll never forget it, because I was pregnant at the time with our first child, and I remember coming home to Mike and looking at him going, I just cannot imagine giving 40 years of my life to something, and then the doors just close, and you're just discarded. You know, it was just, to me, it was just such a heartbreaking thing. And about that time was when Mike said, well, you know, you really need to think about starting your own business. And I was kind of like, no, I think I'm not going to sell anymore. I'm done with it. And he said, no, that's what you're meant to do. And I said, no, I'm done with it. And he basically kind of made an entrepreneur out of me. And so after I witnessed what corporate America did to so many of my friends that worked in that plant, I decided to leave that world and started my own business. So now I started crowding into Mike's warehouse. But, you know, I needed more. My product now fills up these warehouses. So we were just busting at the seams.
I needed to build her a bigger she shed, is what she just said.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're in the printing business,
so,
right?
I mean, which really is what led us to the second warehouse, and why then Mike decided we had to buy the second warehouse.
Lori and Michael Bass out of San Antonio, Texas. Their story begins with them meeting, creating a life with quality investments in commercial real estate that they were using as warehouses for their own two personal businesses that they were working and building out of these warehouses. But when Mike decided to buy the second warehouse that they were renting, and Lori had set up mentally to go ahead and allow herself to be successful enough to buy their new dream personal home, they had to shift their goals, and Lori had to take a step back and let Michael buy this thing. But Michael continued to play the Dave Ramsey card on her and use up all of their money to pay off this second warehouse. And we get to the point we're at in the story right now where, okay, that had to have created this thought process in Lori's mind. Well, it's a 15-year note. Do we go another 15 years without having anything to live with? Lori, how did you see that at that point?
Well, I mean, that you said it. I couldn't have said it any better. You know, when we decided to go ahead and buy the second warehouse, I mean, my first thought was, oh, my goodness, okay, so we're not going to put this on a 30-year note. Nope, we're going to pay it off because that's what we did back then. You know, and so we had, you know, a shorter term note, and I thought to myself, okay, well, here we're going to go another 15 years, and it was, you know, constantly, where's the money? You know, we could see the income maybe that the businesses were making, but we never touched that money because it was constantly going back into these paid-for assets.
Lori was tired of hearing me talk about delayed gratification. And so we had to come up with a compromise of how can we have a lifestyle of doing things and still, you know, have our businesses run out of these assets. And it was a neighbor of mine that for 3 years he was harping on me about, you got to find Lifestyles Unlimited. You got to go to one of the meetings. This is the way you can do it. And so finally, once I had to, you know, come up to how to keep the wife happy, how to keep everything going, I said, well, let's check out Lifestyles and see what they have to say. And so that's when we went to a Thursday night case study, and then just sitting in the room with all of these people from architects, engineers, UPS drivers, and everybody was like looking at the same way as like, how can we retire? You know, what can we do to improve our family situation? And that's when we figured out this might be something we want to listen to.
Okay, so what did you do then?
After the Thursday night case study, we signed up to do the two-day Saturday-Sunday seminar with David Fisher. And like David always says, it is a fire hose full of information being shot at you. And the Saturday, we learned all about single family, and we thought, wow, this is great. And then on Sunday, we learned about how multifamily investing will end up increasing your net worth rapidly. And at that point there, we decided to sign up and started to learn the education online, and that we're going to take charge and, you know, get started on, you know, figuring a way of, you know, investing in multifamily and single family real estate to help increase our cash flow to be able to pay for kids' college and pay us back for our retirement.
So let's talk about the plan for a second here, because you're coming from a unique situation. You were real estate poor, as they say. Basically, you've got a lot of net worth, but it was wrapped up in this real estate. How did you decide to overcome that? What was the plan to work around that issue and get into investing?
Well, we ended up getting with our banker and kind of went through the situation we're at, and he ended up structuring a deal where we had a line of credit to draw out the equity out of our properties and invested into single family properties. And so in January of 2020, Lori went shopping, and we bought three single-family rentals in 3 weeks.
Right, really, when COVID started.
Right
it?
Before
yeah.
COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And then started the whole rehab process on all three of those, and COVID slowed it down a little bit just because of, you know, getting people to work there. But by the late spring, early summer, we ended up having good quality tenants. Lifestyles taught us how to screen the tenants, how to fix up the properties. And the amazing thing is the Lifestyles realtors, they actually were conservative with their numbers. What they said the rental rates were, well, we fixed up these places and ended up getting $200 more a month out of them. And they were so, even they were, the price of the value on them, they undershot those, and we actually, they were worth more after a year that we owned them. So right now we were like thinking, wow, this is great. Looking back, I wish we would have invested more before COVID, but it's always one of those hindsight stories.
Everything's always hindsight.
Well, at least there's still sight, remember.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, whenever anybody talks to me about hindsight's 2020, and I wish I would have, could have, I always like to tell the story about, you know, I was so sad that I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet, and then it all comes so clear.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
So here you are with so much wealth tied up in these assets. You're starting to work it out. You're starting to work it across into some more active and more profitable real estate investments. Now you have lots of real estate. Now you're getting some more profitable real estate investing. Let's talk about the change in heart that I read in your resume about where you decided, maybe we want to go passive now. What happened there?
Well, we were looking, when we originally started that, you know, after doing the Sunday with the whole learning about multifamily, we thought we were going to be an IRO. And, you know, so we were looking at some different, being an independent realtor, real estate owner on a small multifamily. We looked at different deals, kind of looking at the numbers, but kind of realized we still wanted to have our lifestyle of, you know, going to and from our kids, you know, colleges, you know, going to the football games, enjoying time with them. And we didn't want to tie ourselves down trying to run a small apartment community. So that's when we decided, well, we'll just go end up doing passive investing because we can still get a good rate of return. Our equity is going to grow, but we just don't have to put all the having another job along with me running my business and Lori running her business.
All right, good idea, and we totally understand. We take a short break. Be right back with Lori and Michael Bass and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
With a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Today is Tell Dell Tuesday, and with us today is Lori and Michael Bass out of San Antonio. And they're telling a story that is very interesting because they started as entrepreneurs. They wanted their life. They wanted to own their life away from corporate America. Then they came to a situation where they found themselves, as many small entrepreneurs do, cash strapped because they were paying off these large warehouses that they were buying to hold their businesses in and operate their businesses out of. As we work through that story, we come out the other side. The friend told them about Lifestyles. They found out about refinancing some cash out of those warehouses, started buying some investment properties, got some really good results, and were getting ready to smack down on an apartment deal and really take off when they had a new realization, and that was, hey, we don't want to go back to work any more than what we're already doing. We've got the perfect lifestyle, the entrepreneurial lifestyle we like. let's do it in the passive motif. And so we went to break, and they were just starting to talk to us about and share how they made that decision to change over to passive and what they did from there. So, guys, why don't you pick it back up from there?
Yes, Bill. The thing about on the passive investing, it was seen that in a matter of 3 or 4 years with our money, just in us not doing anything other than cashing checks every quarter, we were going to be able to grow that investment anywhere 175 to 200% profitability on these deals. And when we kind of looked at having someone else do all the work for us versus us doing it, that was kind of a no-brainer. So that's why we kind of changed our focus from being an independent realtor owner to more the passive investor, just because we wanted to go live our life and do things with our friends and family.
Well, and we're still working too. So, and you know, from my perspective, you know, time is everything. You know, time with your family and, you know, growing as our kids grew up, you know, I was fortunate that my business was somewhat flexible that I could spend time going to the kids' games. Mike could too, since both of our businesses were more entrepreneurial. But at the end of the day, you know, we only get so many years with your kids when they're young and as they grow. And those years are so important to me and to us and the quality time that we could spend with them. And so being able to buy back our time and, you know, not have to put in the super, super long, long hours really, really was appealing to us.
You know, it's sad that I bet really more people realize it than actually take action on it, that it is, you know, you only get so many years in life to live. And besides that, especially with raising kids, I mean, I look at it now and they were gone. We're looking at grandkids now and, like, you know, they grow like weeds. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy how that all of a sudden that, it, you know, you wake up and you think, oh, they're young and it's, you know, 18 years flies by, like you said, you know, and then we find ourselves as empty nesters. And, you know, it's a lot of changes in your life. Well, now what are we going to do? We're so excited now as empty nesters with the time we're buying back and the passive income that we're creating.
Yeah, it's funny. In life, you always want what you don't have, don't you? When you got all your kids, you want to be free time. And when you got nothing but free time and the house is empty and quiet, you go and buy dogs.
100%, yeah.
Within the last year, we picked up 3 dogs. I just bought 2 huskies, and so they scream and cry. They howl. They woke me up at 3 in the morning to go to the bathroom. They wake me up at 6 in the morning every day to go to the bathroom. And I go, yeah, but they're my kids. I got kids again, you know? Just, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs a fur baby.
But, you know, I think that's true, though, of just life changes. You know, we spend, you know, the time of raising our kids, and that's where your energy goes. And then when they're out of your house, as were we, it's an adjustment period, you know, and you kind of, I know I did. I found myself to there for the first couple of years that they were gone, going, okay, now what? What's, you know, the house was quieter, you know, what's our next phase in life? I think in that, you know, we're both in our 50s, and I feel like that's such a pivotal time in life, and we both were like, I was so soul searching, you know. And I think what's so really cool is the excitement of what our future can be, all because of how we're choosing to invest our money. You know, it's put a whole new spark into what our future can be, you know, and it's just exciting.
And, you know, it's just as much challenge, no matter what age you're at. And I know you guys are probably 10 years younger than me, but at 50s or 60s or wherever you're at, you have to make time. Even when the house is empty, my time can be eaten up from 6 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, and I'm busy every second of the day. You have to make time to go do things. Otherwise, it just won't get done. I will go back, though, and say, one point that's interesting about needing time with the family as opposed to going to work every day, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week like I did. I realize now with the grandkids and with the dogs, it's like, you know, whether you're changing that dirty diaper or you're picking up that pile of lump of love left by your loving dog, it all those little smiles and smirks and the toes and the furriness and the lovability and all those things that those kids and those animals bring to you, those are feelings you just don't get by getting up and going to work. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, and the thing is, it's like, you know, the days are long, but the years are very short. And so you cherish all the moments you have.
Well said, yeah. Michael. Well said. Can I steal that? I like that.
Sure.
The days are long, but the years are short. I like that. That's a good one. I'm going to steal that one and pretend it's mine. I do believe.
Dellism.
Another Dellism. We'll call it a Michael Dellism. It will give you a little credit. A Dellism by Michael. There we go. We can get it.
There you go.
So as you guys work through this now, let's talk about the plan, because I know that Lori was talking a little bit about, hey, there's this next step where right now we're still working our jobs, which are really entrepreneurial, and you really have the freedom to work them as fast or as slow as you want, to make as little or as much as you want, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But she was talking about, you know, that next step. Where is it where you know that you don't even need to do the other stuff?
Well, you know, like right now I'm in my, you know, mid, late 50s. I enjoy what I do with my business. I have great employees here. They take care of me. I try to take care of them. So for me, I'm not looking at retiring anytime soon, but I'm looking at having more free time to be able to go, travel, just do other things in my life. And my employees here, they give me that flexibility, which I really appreciate. And, you know, now for me, I am not trying to be so dependent on that I have to earn a paycheck through my business. I have other sources of income with lifestyle through passive investing that I don't have to worry about my quote-unquote W-2 income. I enjoy my business. I'm keeping my business. But it's nice to know that if anything happens, I have
a
backup with investment income.
I was trying to piggyback on that a little bit, but I don't know how to piggyback on it without being too aggressive on it. But I'll go ahead and try to throw something at it. You know, I own 27 different companies, and I work about 3 hours a week. And I'm thinking, is that retired? Or is that still working? Because I'm just thinking like you. Okay, well, I've still got my company. I still like what I do. Well, I still like lifestyles. I still like doing radio shows. I still like, you know, talking now and then at different events and stuff. Am I retired and they're bringing me back? Or am I still working but in a minuscule amount? I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? When you own the business that you're running and you have the ability to orchestrate a staffing policy that allows you to step away from the business, is there really a thing called retirement? Does it really exist?
It becomes a mindset. For me, I've always been the early, you know, get there early, almost like the turnkey business. And my wife is trying to, you know, convince me that you don't have to be the one turning the key.
That's a great point.
We have Lori and Michael Bass out of San Antonio, Texas, a family that owns a couple of very large warehouses that they use to work and store and produce products for their two different businesses, his and her. A couple of years back, they decided to start investing in real estate to both change some of their income and to loosen up and free up some of the cash stuck in the warehouses. And now they're at a point where they're passively investing, and it's all good from this point forward. But we were having a discussion right before we went to break where Lori and Michael were discussing, sounds like a discussion they might have had before in the past at home about, hey, we're there, we're successful. Do you still need to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day and go to work all day long? And let's pick that one back up. Lori, I think you had the dominance of the mic at the moment when we had to break off.
Well, it's just funny that we're talking about this because, you know, that I think whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you work in corporate America, you know, I don't think success is measured necessarily by the hours of time, at the hours of day you work. You know, some people measure success, I think, by the hours of, by how many hours of a day you work. And I've always, you know, really it's more about how smart you work in those hours. You know, you don't have to work 15-hour days necessarily, or you would like to hope you don't, to be successful if you work smarter within those hours. And, you know, now that we have begun to free up Michael, especially his time, you know, he is, it's kind of like you're regimented, you know, it's what you do, it's what you've done for the last, you know, 30 years. The alarm goes off and his feet literally hit the floor like a little sergeant, and I hear pitter-patter, 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 you know, into the bathroom. And, you know, and it's just, it's the way it is. It's just ingrained. And we are having conversations about that, but hey, you know, you don't have to work those hours like you always have to find a level or measure of success, you know? And Michael is having to really retrain his thinking. And he's, because, you know, it, what is the cliche saying in lifestyles? Help me with it. It's live the lifestyle you want, or I forget, what's the saying? It's not the money, it's the lifestyle, because that is the bottom line. And I say that to him all the time. I've said it to him at 4:55 in the morning. Excuse me, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, right? So.
Well, for me, I'm like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption. You become institutionalized.
You're institutional, yep, very much.
You know, so it's hard to break. It's taken a while to break those habits is the issue, but I'm slowly making the change.
I'm going to fall on Lori's side of this argument, guys, and Lori, I'm going to give you some ammunition to work with him on. Okay, first of all, I tell all of my employees no one's allowed to work more than 40 hours a week. If you do, I'll fire you. And the reason, if you can't get your job done in 40 hours a week, you don't know how to do your job. You need to quit. The second one is that. If you ever want to realize how useless you are at what you're doing, take a vacation. What you'll find is you'll leave for a week and there'll be 8,000 things you need to do and keep busy for a whole week. You'll spend 4 hours extra the day before you leave and 8 hours extra the day after you leave and you're done. The whole week has been taken care of in about 12 hours. That's how useless we spend our time when we get to work.
That's
and
so
we just.
True.
Go to work and spend time at work. Work is useless. You can do everything you need to do in probably 2 or 3 hours a day. I run 27 different companies, and I spend, like I said, no more than 3 hours a day. Now, actually, 3 hours a week is about what I spend, maybe 5 hours a week. I'm probably a little more than that. But, you know, the bottom line is that it's not a lot. And so, yeah, I see that one. I'm going to go with Lori on this one. Michael, two for our side, one for yours. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Where are we going with this, guys? What's next? We got just about 2 minutes left. What's the future for the Bass family?
Well, right now it's teaching our kids. They see what we're doing, and it's all about kind of creating a legacy for them. They see how we've become successful. Now how this the investing in real estate is going to make us more successful, that we can retire and be able to give them something that they can pass down to their kids. But also my employees kind of see what I'm doing, and I might be the stupid boss, but I'm trying to get them joining lifestyles to help them get in a situation where they're not dependent upon a job for all the what-ifs that happen in life, that they can have passive income for their kids and then their grandkids to pass down through their generation.
And we actually have employees now that are members too, that are passively investing, and it's so exciting for us to be able to not only be able to pass this down to our children, but also our work family,
and helping to give back to them too, so they can be successful.
Yeah, I think most people are better employees when they're not all stressed out about money. I know I was once I started investing. I would go to work with, like a new spring in my step, because I saw life as something that you were winning at instead of something you were just getting crushed down by every day. So I agree with you. Also, if you let them make money on the side, Michael, there's another thing you can do to them that I do to my employees. And remember, I have 27 companies, so I got hundreds of employees. People always ask me, I need a raise. I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't give raises. And they go, why not? I said, well, because each position has a job that gets paid a certain amount, and that's what the job gets paid. Well, I'm worth much more than that. My answer is, you absolutely are, but this job isn't. So, hey, if you don't like the job, go find another job. But, most of them say, oh, okay. And the reason they say okay is I said, well, if you don't like how much money you make, then go buy some passive real estate. Go get some investments and get rich, and then you won't be talking to me about money. You're here about a job. You got a job. I pay you what the job's worth. I don't bug you. I don't overwork you. I don't make you work extra hours. In fact, if you work more than 40, I'll fire you. And so there's no argument. There's nothing to say. Okay, go make some money. Right. Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I hope that the give back, which starts with the kids, ends up moving on to other people in our group and you keep growing. For the rest of you out there, remember this, not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you tomorrow.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.